wanted to look at it because I wanted to look at the broad spectrum of it. Jonah, Nineveh, and the sailors, and putting ourselves in each of their position to see how God related to each one of them and how God's compassion and mercy affected them all. And so I thought it very interesting. As we go through, we will hopefully see the main character in this story, as far as I see, is God, is the Lord, and what He does, and how His heart is, and how He approaches each of the situations to bring about His mercy and His compassion and His salvation. And so let's begin then in Jonah, the first chapter. And we have the first question is, explain God's plan for showing His loving kindness to Nineveh. What was God's plan?
Send Jonah there to teach them.
Okay. Why Jonah? What is Jonah? A prophet. He's a prophet. Jonah is a prophet. And as we're going to read later on in our study, Jeroboam II is on the throne in Israel. And Jonah is the prophet that's prophesying to Jeroboam II before Amos gets on the scene. Later in Israel's time. Just a little bit after that. Okay. So, We have God's plan to send His prophet to go to Nineveh. Why was He sending Jonah to go to Nineveh?
To teach.
Teach what?
God's word.
Repent. To repent. I see your wickedness. You know, I'm coming with my wrath. You know, unless you repent. So God's plan was, send His prophet, and I found it interesting that in 3:4. Let's go over to 3:4.
Chapter 3?
Yes, chapter 3, And verse 3 also, we see that he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. We're going to see a change in Jonah's mind as we go through the study and everything. But what I wanted us to realize was that that the words that God would tell him in chapter 1:1-2, came to Joah, arise, go to Nineveh, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And so he wanted Jonah to go according to the word of the Lord. That means that because Jonah was God's prophet, he was going to speak for God the words that God was going to tell him to preach. This was, and of course, this was not Jonah's idea. In fact, you know, he didn't think that was a very good idea, as we're going to see. So, what happens next? God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. What happens next?
Jonah's not going. He said, I'm leaving.
Okay. Jonah tried to run away from God, didn't he? Can you imagine? I don't think he thought that he could get so far away. In fact, you know, when he goes down to Joppa to go over to Tarshish, which is in South Spain, it's 2,500 miles from Joppa to Tarshish. And it's only a little over 500 miles to go up to Nineveh from Israel, where he is. So instead of, okay, God, you know, I'm going to travel 500 miles and go do what you say. But no, I'm going to go down, get on a ship, and go 2,500 miles, you know, so I don't have to do what you said.
Get away from God.
To get away from God, from the presence of God. In other words, not do what God said. There is no way that you can get away from God. I don't care if it is 2,500 miles away. God saw. And how do we know God saw? Because of what He does next. You know? So, Jonah got on a ship, and then what did God do when Jonah was on that ship trying to get away from doing what he said? Yes, dear?
A great storm,
huh? A great storm and a wind on the sea, and it was about to break the ship apart. And the sailors are afraid. But where is Jonah?
Sleeping.
He's sleeping down in the hole. He hasn't a clue of what's going on yet. But he's going to catch up. Okay, so in verse 3, as we see, you know, there, we see, you know, God, Jonah in the ship and trying to get away from the presence. And then 4 and 5, the Lord hurling a great storm and the sailors become afraid. Okay? And so I wanted you all to see the comparison of how the sailors were at the beginning of this great storm, of this episode, to actually teach Jonah a lesson, you know. But in the middle of that, it's going to affect these sailors and their beliefs and their actions. And so, another side lesson. We never know that the consequences are the positive reactions of either obeying or disobeying, of telling, seeing God's power and word working and being true than what these sailors had as their gods. And so we're going to see that. To see the reaction of the sailors before they come to really know the power of the one true Lord, what were they like? Verse 5. Melissa, would you like to read? Let's just read 5, 6, through 14, actually.
5 through 14?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us, so that we will not perish." Each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots, so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me this great storm has come upon you." However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. For you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased." So okay. They picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging.
Number 16 also, please.
Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows.
Okay, so what did y'all put down? What were the sailors like before? Before they become to know the Lord as the true Lord. What were they like?
They had different gods.
They had different gods, and they were praying to those gods. But it wasn't doing any good, was it? But they were afraid, and they were crying out to their gods. And they even threw the cargo. That's money. You know, that is their livelihood. But their life is on the line. They're crying to their gods. Nothing's happening. They're throwing the cargo overboard. And the captain goes down and tells Jonah to pray to his God. You know, they're desperate. and they're going to perish. And so then they cast lots. And we talked about this in another study, and we saw where the God is over the casting of lots. A lot of times, you know, it's his decision. The lot falls to Jonah. And so, as it should, because, you know, this is the problem. They knew that because Jonah told them that he was trying to run away from God, that it was, you know, the lot come to him, and he was the guilty one. And so, but they didn't want to throw him overboard yet. They just didn't want to do that. So instead of doing that, they start rowing really, you know, really hard. They're trying to still beat the storm on their terms. Okay, so then what happens?
The storm was because of Jonah, and he told the sailors to throw him in the sea.
Yeah, and so when they did decide, but now before they do this, they call on the Lord. They say, okay, talking to our gods didn't work. So they called on the Lord, say, okay, we're perishing. Do not let us perish on account of this man's life. And do not put innocent blood on us. They didn't want to be accountable for murder, throwing him into the sea. But Jonah tells them, you know, throw me into the sea, it's my fault, you know. And so, but they say, oh Lord, you've done as you have pleased. They recognize the Lord God of the Hebrews, the Lord God of heaven and earth and the sea that Jonah told them about, is the one doing this and the only one that can stop it, do something about it. So they pick up Jonah and they throw him into the sea. And what happens? The storm stops. And in verse 16, the men feared the Lord greatly. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord, not, you know, not to their gods. They're not praising their false gods who did nothing, and made vows to the Lord. So this episode in this little story affected how idolatrous sailors from Joppa or other places in the world that was on this ship viewed the Lord God and come to fear him instead of their gods. Nothing is ever said again about if they continue to fear the Lord, but at this moment in time, they come to know the true God of heaven and earth and feared him, worshiped him, sacrificed to him, and made vows to him. And so, any thoughts on that? Anything that you all might have put down? You know, taking the place of these sailors when Jonah told them to throw them into the sea, that was the answer. And sometimes we don't like answers that are the right answer to fix some problems that we have. And so we try to think of something else. As it was, they were rowing desperately. They were throwing things overboard. They were trying to do everything except throw Jonah into the sea. But when they did, what the right thing to do was, because Jonah is telling them, he's the prophet of God, throw me into the sea, it's my fault. And it'll be all right. So, we have to be careful, and we're going to look at some of Jonah's thinking too that we can pick, that we might pick up on in our daily walk. But so as we progress in the story, Jonah is now in the sea, and the Lord appoints a great fish to swallow him. Okay, and so how long is he in the belly of the fish?
Three days and three nights.
Okay. You think this is a trial? I put this here. We're not going to spend hardly any time on it. You think this is a trial, or do you think that it is a punishment, both of which could come out with the same conclusion, that Jonah, you need to repent and go do what I say? I think it's a trial sent on Jonah to bring his consciousness around to knowing who God was, that you can't run away from me, that you need to obey me, and repent and go teach Nineveh. God hadn't changed his mind on God's plan to save Nineveh. And he's trying to bring Jonah around. And it's going to take quite a bit. So, what are your thoughts on that?
I just saw it as God intervenes.
Yes. Yes. Just a discipline. Yeah.
Call it.
Yeah.
But God's going to have his way, and so he intervened. Now, Jonah had a will. He could still say, no, I'm not going.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
His intervention was enough to wake him up and make him do what God wanted.
Exactly. And so we're going to skip down to number 6 then. Jonah while in the belly of the fish. Okay. What 3 things did Jonah do in his distress? And we're going to chapter 2 for that. What did you all put down?
Prayed.
You prayed. What else?
He repented.
Okay. He prayed. You see him helpless, hopeless. He's down. He's on his way, and he knows that he might surely die. And he comes to his senses. I like when it talks about in chapter 2, saying, I have been expelled from your sight. Of course, God sees him. It means I am totally out of your favor. I am out of, I haven't done what you said. I'm in disobedience. Therefore, I need to repent and I need to be faithful. And he's going to get to that in just a minute. Okay. He ascended down. I was fainting away. I remembered the Lord. We've seen so many stories where God remembered and acted. Now, Jonah is remembering with a true concept, a true view of God, instead of, I can get away, I can disobey and get away with it. All I got to do is go to Tarshish, to 2,500 miles away, and God won't see that. Our God won't deal with that badly, that kind of thing. You know, but he sees, and then he says something really interesting. He vowed to offer sacrifices for the Lord's salvation, and I will not forsake being faithful to you, verse 8. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Lord, I wasn't faithful. I remembered the Lord. I'm going to be faithful. You are the God of salvation. And he made a vow with thanksgiving. So, here we see Jonah. What did the Lord do? Verse 2. To bring him to that. When Jonah is praying, what did the Lord, what does it say about the Lord? He answered him. Okay? I cried out for help. You heard me. We're seeing God. We're seeing the Lord. Even from a man who's running away from him, his prophet who did not obey him, but he's in this situation. He remembered the Lord. He's crying out, and God heard him in his distress. So that is very comforting. to know that God will hear us if we have a penitent heart, no matter what kind of depths we get to, if we remember and turn back, God hears us. God cares when we call out to Him. Okay, so He also says, I will look again towards your holy temple. What do you think that means when Jonah said that?
One of the things worshiping, that was one of the things that when the Israelites were taken away from their country, they were to look toward Jerusalem and pray to God.
And but God is his God, and he will worship him as the God of the Hebrews, and he will look again. He won't try to leave the presence of the Lord and not to obey him, but I will obey you, and I will worship you, and I will, you know, do what you say. And I'll be faithful to that. That's what Jonah is coming to while he's in the belly of the fish. And so, God heard him. What else? You think it's a miracle that Jonah has been kept alive for 3 days and three nights down there in the belly of that fish?
God's will.
Of course. God kept him alive. And he saved him from the depths. Verses 9 and 10. Pat, you want to read that?
Chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving that which I have vowed I will pray. Salvation is from the Lord. The Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land.
Okay. He commanded the fish to vomit him up on dry land. And he was well. He was, you know, whole. He was ready, in that case, to go do what God said. And he recognizes, and God shows Jonah, I am the God of salvation. So, next story, Jonah, this time when God tells him to go to Nineveh, as we pick up the story, chapter 3, Jonah goes to Nineveh and he preaches because it's his duty as a prophet of God, sent by God, to do God's will, to preach what God said. He was doing God's plan. He was faithful to God's plan. Not his plan that got him in the belly of a fish, but God's plan. And so, what happens in Nineveh?
People repented.
They believed the message, didn't they? And they repented in dust and ashes. Sackcloth and ashes, excuse me. And they turned from their wicked ways. And what was God's reaction? 3, 9, and 10. Let's read that. Sally, you want to read? Pat, did you read? You did. Okay, Sally, 9 and 10.
Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned and their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not.
Okay, so God relented. The calamity is not coming yet. But, you know, God reacted to their faithful repentance. This shows me that their hearts were right with God. I mean, they repented. It wasn't a show. It wasn't just to appease Jonah. They were truly, reverently repentive, and, you know, and God saw that. And so, what then did Jonah do? How did that make Jonah feel?
He didn't like it. He was mad.
He was mad. Okay? In fact, now, let's catch up with... Let's do number one. Jonah got angry, and yet, what did Jonah know about God's character that makes him look so foolish? What did he know?
God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abundant loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity.
Okay. And he thought that he could just forestall or prevent God's action like this. He thought that he could prevent God's compassion and mercy and salvation on Nineveh. That's why he ran away. So, but let's look at a little background. Back in 2 Kings, let's go back to 2 Kings a minute. How does Jonah know all this? As we said, Jonah's the prophet in Israel. He's under Jeroboam too. Was Jeroboam a good king or a really evil king?
Bad.
Really bad. Okay, in 2 Kings 13, let's start there. In 2 Kings 13, 22 and 23, Joanne, would you like to read 2 Kings 13, 22 through 23?
But the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them and turned to them because of his own covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them or cast them from his presence until.
Okay, turn over to chapter 14. The king has died. Now Jeroboam is in rule. Jonah is still prophet in Israel. In chapter 14, 25 and 20 through 27, Lauren, would you read that, please? 14, 25 through 27.
He restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher. For the Lord saw that the affliction of Israel was very bitter, and whether bond or free, there was no helper for Israel. And the Lord did not say that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joab.
Now, other prophets had been prophesying, the end is coming. But at this point, at this time, even though Jeroboam too is in the rule, and he's an evil king, God looks with compassion and mercy on Israel at the hand of the enemy and saves them. And as it ends up, Jeroboam takes back the land and everything through God's working through him to get Israel back in. And then, but on the heels of Jeroboam 2 and this happening, we're introduced to Amos coming in. Let's turn to Amos 4. Jonah and Amos prophesied about the same time, or Amos just followed Jonah, okay? So in Amos 4, as we'll hopefully study in our study of Israel, it says in verse 11 and 12, I overthrew you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand snatched from a blaze, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God. The famous statement by Amos. And so God is preparing the nation. He has told them by his prophets, unless you repent, I'm coming. Prepare to meet your God. And as we well know, it's not very long before the Assyrians come and take Israel into captivity. In fact, it's not very many years. Okay, so Jonah, though, we did all that to say that Jonah saw the compassion and mercy of God right there in Israel, even though there was an evil, evil king and idolatry in the land. He saw God's compassion because of his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to bring them on. Until which time, God worked other things. But Jonah knew the compassion of God, the mercy of God. And Nineveh was their enemy. They had persecuted them. They had warred against them. They were constantly, against them. And Jonah didn't want God to forgive their enemy.
Jonah just received God's compassion and mercy.
Exactly. But he was angry because, hey, I'm a Hebrew, maybe. And I follow you, God. You're the God of the Hebrews. This evil nation who has been so evil against my people, against your people, and you're going to forgive them, Lord, you know. Remember, we just studied about what we do to our enemies. We pray for them. We do good for them. You know, that kind of thing. Jonah wasn't really willing at this point because he truly understood, I think, the compassion that God had for his people. But I don't think he understood God's compassion for the Gentiles. And, of course, we see that in the New Testament with another fellow. Okay, so any thoughts about that? Why Jonah is so mad? What did he ask? How mad is he and how despondent is he?
Just kill me.
Just kill me.
No way.
Just take my life. I'm not worth living if I know that God forgives those evil people. Now, isn't that ridiculous? And so, death is better than knowing. What was God's reaction to that? Give me your thoughts. What was God's reaction to that in 4:4? Of Jonah.
Do you have really a good reason to be angry?
Does that sound like God again? You know, why are you angry, Cain?
His request.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so he was, God was, what? Didn't God know the answer for that? He's trying to get Jonah to, number one, consider his own self. And number two, to give some righteous judgment on what's going on. Why are you so angry? You know. The sailors said, God does as he pleases. Jonah hadn't said that yet. And so, the all-wise God asked him a question. And then how might others respond to how Jonah acted when you do something good and people get mad at you? How do you usually, you know, do we show anger in return? Do we mock them? Or do we make them feel smaller than ants, you know, by our language or by the way we treat them? But God didn't do that. God wanted him to think. And then he steps back. And Jonah leaves the city and he's sitting out there trying to see what happens next. Can you just see him sitting out there, making him a little shelter, and he's looking out over the city? Well, now what's going to happen next, God? You know. And so, you've forgiven him. We don't know. We're not told another word about that. But, here comes God again, in his mercy. The east wind comes, and God has mercy. And he sends a plant. And here's the plan. He sends a plant to shelter and to cool, to give relief to Jonah sitting there. My word just left. He did not Well, let's go on because my mind just went blank. Sorry about that. Okay, so he didn't deserve God to send him a plant to do his head. He's out there pouting and being angry. Okay? And so God sent it to him anyway. That's called mercy. Okay, so the plant comes. Jonah really likes that plant. But then God sends a worm. Eat the plant. The plant withers. And Jonah gets mad all over again. This time, because God took away the plant. Now, The question is, what was the lesson about the plant that God wanted Jonah to learn?
Jonah was concerned about the plant. He wanted him to realize that he's concerned about all these people and all the animals that Jonah wants destroyed so badly. And these are his people. These are people that he made. And they're not worshiping him, but they're his people. Jonah didn't do anything to get the plant. God said.
That's right. And remember in the reading, it said that Jonah was happy when the plant came and gave him relief. You know, God's mercy. He was happy. His discomfort was taken away. God's looking at a spiritual thing with Nineveh. He's caring about the souls of men, not a plant that comes one day and withers the next. Jonah's concerned about these little things, and here God is concerned about all these people's souls in Nineveh. Jonah should not have concern about that, you know, and show them mercy and show them compassion. You're angry about this. Well, number one, God's angry with sin. And so he had his message to get them out of that instead of sending his wrath just right on.
The last verse is good.
Right. We can look at it again, but let's finish with, two things. If God had granted Jonah's two requests, spoken in anger rather than to die, rather than live, what would happen? Would that solve anything?
No.
No. Jonah would just be dead. Maybe he wouldn't get to go back and talk to Jeroboam anymore. You know, but God had a prophet. He sent Amos after that. So, you know, what should that teach us about rash words spoken in anger? Think about that. God, just let me die. I'd rather be dead than, you know, I've heard people say that, than forgive that person. Yeah. God, smite me dead if I ever speak to that person again. Heard that in the mall last week. You know, so we can't think like Jonah, like that. How do you think God feels about unloving attitudes and unforgiving hearts that we may exhibit? That's just out there. You know, he doesn't like it a bit. Okay. 2 Peter 3:9. Let's go over there and finish with that, and we're going to hit it again. Elizabeth, would you read 2 Peter 3:9? We've just learned that God didn't want Nineveh to perish. Can I have compassion on Nineveh? Why?
The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count so, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all who come to repentance.
Okay. He's not willing for any to perish, but all come to repentance. But all people do not come to repentance. Our some do, and they turn back. Lord willing, we will pick up, okay, on number 5 about Proverbs 14:29 next time, and we will finish. And as talked about in class, next week will be our last class.